Yeah, so the first question would be, can you present us with a short bio of your server or service?
Well, the bio right now is very short. It's a really new project.
Mm-hmm.
It's a project that serves books on the school environment. We're six students from the Pitsvart who wants to share books in the school, and like we're also grabbing a notion that all of us actually wants to share books together, and we want to find a way to do this more easy,
mm-hmm.
Easier than just sharing a USB stick.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have now is a small server, a small computer called a Raspberry Pi, acting as a server, which you can connect to as a Wi-Fi connection. And in there you can gain access to either downloading books or uploading books.
Yeah.
So that's the basic setup, I guess the bio as well.
And the name then?
The name is called Biblioteca.
Cha-cha.
Cha-cha.
Cha-cha. Okay. What gender is your server?
Cha-cha.
But the idea is also that this is not just a network for our school, Pitsvart. It's a network that could exist anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the server name could change, and it could be a male server as well.
It's also good to mention that even though our server is on the premises of the Pitsvart, it's not connected to the network of the Pitsvart.
Mm. Yeah.
So in this sense, it's an offline server,
yeah.
So to say.
Yeah, that's
really cool. Well, no, yeah, but you can connect to it.
Yeah, yes. But it's not online. It's not on the internet. So
no.
It's
okay.
It's autonomous.
It's nice. Yeah. How does she then deal with the law, and how does the law deals with her?
I think she tries to avoid the law for now. She doesn't conflict with it right now because she's in this autonomous space. So as long as it's not online, it's harder to get to. It only exists within this physical premises.
Mm. But that was the question this afternoon. Like, if you have it in physical space, there are people walking by outside the building. Does that would cause conflicts for her with the law?
Most probably yes, I would say, because of the aim of this project being an open library and sharing books to exist as a dealing with the law and copyright issues. So that was one of the main reasons why we initialized and decided to be local.
But even if it generates conflicts with copyright law, I think that's interesting because it shows how pervasive and how actually irrational they can be when you're talking about sharing knowledge within an education context, and you cannot have a copyrighted book on a server, and you can make copies of a book, but not have a PDF of a book on a server, and no one actually is making money with this. I mean, and I don't actually think that anyone is losing money with it either. So it's this all the conversation about the capacity of copyrights to generate revenue for the creators of the work or not, and who actually is making money with it. But so it raises those questions within a safe territory, I think, because if worse comes to worse, you can always unplug it.
But it's already unplugged, no?
Yeah.
It is what?
It is already unplugged in a sense.
Yeah. Okay.
I see not how this is much different than having your books on a USB. drive or something.
Or
yeah, perhaps even a shelf. Yeah, like
yeah.
Having an unofficial library would basically be the same. Also, the scope, the amount of people that use it is the same.
But so, in that sense, you're confident that it will stay in between the walls of the school.
I think so, yes, because to be honest, our library is probably also very boring for people outside of the school. You know, it's very topical, and it's like there are the texts that interest us as a what is in the end the micro community with particular interests. I think even if other people would connect to it, they would be not impressed probably.
No, but I find it more actually interesting when you start to go outside the territory and of let's say a school or an institution, and actually see what happens if you leave this on a store and after 1 month, what kind of books do you have there? And it can be. I think it's an interesting experiment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actually, people, what kind of metadata do they need? How many, what kind of books downloads what? And the question is how different it is from an online environment.
Yeah.
I think perhaps it's also in the care that you put on the act of uploading a book to somewhere that you know that is specific to a given area, a given space, rather than uploading 1 gigabyte of digital books onto a server.
I mean, in a sense, you know the people who you're uploading it to.
Mm.
That's what I actually don't want to. I think that the beauty of the project is that you can be surprised by what who uploads and who downloads and what you find that you're not expecting to find. And but at the same time, it is kind of curated. It has to be something special, that because it can't be just rubbish that someone wants forward to this place. So
that leads me to the next question: how do you take care of yourself?
That's a very important question, I would say. We have the role of the librarian, the mysterious she or he. And yeah, I do consider that that's a very important question in the sense of who is maintaining, organizing the content of this.
What do you do to maintain the content? What do you do to maintain this library?
Yes, I think it's quite a responsibility to. I mean, we have at the moment working form as a requiring the user or person who will contribute with books to fill a form, really simple form, providing title and author name and some category of the book. But also on the other hand, we have the librarian who is the person in charge.
Right.
So to organize and to kind of put everything in order.
And to garden.
Yeah, the garden.
Yeah, the garden.
And I think if this role, if we think about it, like how we can share also the role, the responsibility, not being only one person, but change.
Have you got models for that? No, you're starting.
We're starting, but I'm quite interested in that, so I would like to research and explore more. In that sense.
Yeah.
It's important, especially for a digital library. It is different. It's different how you deal with metadata and all these things. No?
Yeah.
Like the content.
And what do you allow to be in there, and you think actually what actually can be so bad or so out of the blue that actually overpasses the scope of your library? I mean, my receipts or something like that. It's
complex. But if we limit it now in a matter of, okay, we will deal with the content that's relevant to the problem that we are studying at the institution, then we could also have these nice projects and pieces and publications by the institute. It's part of it. They exist there, like locked in the corridor, physically books there, but then.
But you know, but I was talking within the Pittsburgh Institute, this building where actually the library is gonna first exist. It's the first spot. There are two programs. There's a media design program and there's a fine arts program, and they're kind of separated physically because they occupy different floors. But also. They are actually separated on many other levels, in approaches and everything. And there's not so much cross fertilization of one to the other, not so much interest. And the other day when I came to meet you for a meeting to prepare this, I met a friend of mine. She's studying in fine art, and she told I told her about the meeting and the project, and she. Oh, good. Maybe this will start something that doesn't exist. Maybe this start an interest between what one with each kind of program does and it's doing, and the people. It's so for me, it's interesting that it breaks with its with the scopes of. Of ourselves and goes into other territories. It also depends on how much you can read and how readable they are.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.